This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihei.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your Venus flytrap of music news and cloud-based broadcasting. I'm your host, Ben Ratliff.
You look like my next mistake. Love's a game. Wanna play.
That, duh, was Blank Space by Taylor Swift, who's been in the news recently because she seemed to be, well, she was, withholding her record 1989 from Apple Music, which is set to be released as the next major internet streaming music streaming service on Tuesday. And she has just reversed that decision because Apple changed its idea about what it wanted to do. To explain all of this and more, and the direction of Apple towards radio, internet radio, is our music business reporter, Ben Cesario. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
Ben, you've been sort of following the contours of this thing as it leads up to Tuesday, the big day. Taylor Swift has commanded the headlines about Apple Music. Can you just sort of give us a condensed précis of what's been going on with her?
Apple is getting ready to launch their music service. Part of it is a Spotify-type on-demand streaming thing. And as part of that, they're going to have a 90-day free period where anyone can test it out. And in the deals that they made with record companies and that they proposed out there, they would not pay royalties during those free streams. The major labels accepted this deal, but the indies started to freak out a little bit about it. And over the last couple of weeks, as news of this kind of circulated through the music world, there was really a lot of worry about it.
Because that's 90 days of free service, 90
yes.
days of the customer paying nothing, after which they might decide, I don't need this.
Well, not only the customer paying nothing, but Apple paying nothing to the musicians, the labels who
that's
supply
right.
the music. And Apple is the most important, the biggest retailer of music in the world. They're usually the most important account for any record label. And especially when you're a smaller label, that's a pretty frightening prospect to be without income or to have that income really drop.
And everybody with an iPhone already has that platform.
Right.
So it's not that they don't have to get anything new.
So there's a lot of worry about it, but there was really no movement. And then on Sunday morning, Taylor Swift publishes this blog post, and it was a very diplomatically written post. I thought it was a brilliant piece of politics. Hmm. She spoke so eloquently and respectfully toward Apple, saying what a great partner they are, what a great innovative, progressive company they are. But she scolded them in pretty clear terms over this decision not to pay royalties for the free streams and basically said, you know, we don't ask you for free iPhones, so don't ask us for free music.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the kind of thing that, you know, thousands of independent record companies have been trying to say to Apple for the last couple of weeks. They didn't respond. But when Taylor said it, you know, they jumped. By the end of that day, Apple had a complete turnaround. I was on the phone with an executive there at like midnight, and they were promising that they would change this policy. So, you know, within a matter of hours, the biggest, richest, most powerful company in the world, and the one that is usually not swayed by anything anybody says, completely turned around. You know, it followed Taylor's request, her, you know, her complaint.
Meaning now that they will not have a free
service. No, that's not right.
Service.
They will have their free service, but they will pay the record
right.
labels and the, and
okay.
and the songwriters for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those terms are still being hashed out, but basically they know what it's going to be. It's going to be 0.2 cents per stream for the recordings, which sounds like nothing. And it basically is nothing. This is about what people get paid on the free level of Spotify. It's not very much money, even if you have millions and millions and millions of streams. You know, it might be adding up to a few hundred or a few thousand bucks.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the big issues in the music industry today, is just, what does all this add up to, you know? But I think in just symbolic terms, it's very important that Apple changed, that they changed so quickly, and that they are paying.
So that's what they're going to pay artists during the free trial period. After that, after the free trial period,
there's a split in the revenue that comes in.
Right. I was going to ask you, what does the artist get then? But I guess the question gets more complicated then.
It gets a little more complicated, but I mean, it's the subscription fee is $10 a month. 71.5% of that will be paid out in royalties, and then once it gets to the labels and the publishers, they divvy it up, and things get extremely complicated. But you know, that there's real money there, and part of the whole reason that there's so much interest in this whole in Apple's new service is just that the reach of Apple is so extraordinary, and the fact that they've literally sold hundreds of millions of iPhones all over the world, and this new app is going to be baked into every single one of them. The software, you know, there's always kind of this formula, this like hypothetical formula with tech companies about if we can only get 10% of the people out there to, you know, upgrade, 5%, 1%. When you're talking about the numbers that Apple has, even, you know, a few percent of the people out there, if they can get them to pay $10 a month for music, that's actually a great deal of money, billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That would make a huge difference in the music industry. It's the kind of thing that really would kind of establish this whole new world of streaming as a viable economic model if it works. And it's by no means guaranteed. It could be a flop. It, you know, there's a lot of competition already out there. When Apple announced this whole thing, there was a kind of a reaction to it immediately.
You mean at the big show?
Yeah, a few weeks ago they had their announcement, and Drake came out, and
yes,
Jimmy Iovine was there.
Yes. I did see a lot of reaction like that. Underwhelmed reactions.
I think part of it is that we have a lot of expectations for Apple. And what they did originally with iTunes, and this is something that so many people in the music industry have told me leading up to this, was there was just such a brilliant simplicity to the way Steve Jobs sold iTunes to the world.
Mm-hmm.
99 cents a song for any song you want, and you can listen to it on your iPod. It made sense to everybody all over the world, from a music fan to your grandmother, you know, anybody. And it really worked. It really caught on. It changed the way people thought about music, the way they bought music, the way the labels, all artists, you know, made their music and released their music. The new thing, Apple Music, is by comparison very complicated. It has all of these different parts combined into one app. There still is the old iTunes store, but then Apple Music includes a Spotify-type subscription thing. It includes basically a copy of SoundCloud. It's something that artists can upload stuff to. It's like a media platform.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea there is maybe it's a little bit informal. It's like a demo tape. It's a video. It's a, you know, kind of a blog post kind of a thing. There's also a whole bunch of radio features, including one that they're calling Beats One,
mm-hmm,
which is this 24-hour live radio station that will go all over the world. And it's being led by a guy named Zane Lowe, who's a former BBC DJ. Pretty interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty hard to look at all that and summarize it and point to something and say, that is Apple Music.
Right.
Because it sounds like they've got a lot of kind of bowling pins in the air. And they're trying to accommodate every which way in which, you know, listening in the digital age has splintered and segmented.
Radio. It's not the only part of Apple Music that is creating interest, but it's creating a lot of interest. This idea of the 24-hour radio station with many hosts, many famous hosts, I imagine pretty often revolving hosts. I mean, you know, Drake, mm-hmm, Elton John, Pharrell Williams. These people aren't going to be hosts for years.
They have a pretty solid lineup to start, and they know that it's going to change.
Right.
But, you know, Apple, after they bought Beats and they got Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, they sort of got a lot of their friends too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's going to be interesting people on there. It's kind of like what we have seen on Sirius XM, right? There's a big lineup of a lot of programming and famous people.
Yes.
And they're taking kind of a page from what has made Sirius good.
Sure.
And they're trying it. I think one of the interesting things about Beats 1 is that it's just one station. It's not a lineup of dozens of different stations.
But I can imagine that it might be in the future.
It could be.
Why it's called Beats 1,
there
right?
You go.
I mean, it also makes me think of the BBC, you know, now has an internet-only station, mm-hmm. channel, BBC 6. At first, everybody thought, oh, this is a terrible idea. Internet-only? Who cares, you know? What a waste of resources. But it took a while, but now they've got, you know, they're up to 2 million listeners a week or something, and it seems to be a success. And they've got Marianne Hobbs and Iggy Pop, and they have dozens and dozens of interesting DJs, and they've got an audience. You can listen to it live if you want to, or you can, you know, it's all archived. You can stream it later. So I just feel like this is a very interesting thing that we're kind of going back to.
Yeah.
I mean, as I was saying to you before we started this, our grandparents were very interested in radio, you know?
Well, this has been one of the interesting developments in digital music over the last 10 years or so, which is that at one point, I think radio looked like an endangered species. It kind of just looked like a terribly old-fashioned form of media.
Sure.
But in fact, you know, regular radio has survived pretty well. But all this internet radio stuff is extremely popular. Pandora is by far the most popular digital music service out there.
Pandora doesn't involve human DJs.
That's its whole pitch, is that, you know, it's sort of computer generated. They
yeah.
have humans who digest the music and categorize it and say, you know, this song has, you know, this kind of rhythm and modality and the timbre of the voice.
The Genome Project.
The Genome Project. But it's a machine that spits out songs.
And then there's iTunes, which had its own thing called iTunes Radio.
Which was just a plain copy of Pandora, pretty much.
Was it the Genome Project, or was it would it take off from specific elements of your collection?
I don't know how they built it, but I mean, it's pretty much the same concept.
Well, in any case, these things are sort of like radio you. You know, it's all about you.
Right.
But now we're shifting to a different model where it's not so much all about you. It's about the tastes of other people that you might know and trust and have an interest in, but they're going to give you what they're interested in.
The key word is curator, and that's kind of one of the buzzwords of entertainment media these
days.
And that's what's all over Sirius. You and I, or any other random person, we could just be clicking on Pandora and we could be building our own playlists, and we do that. We spend a lot of time building our own little music world that we inhabit. But it gets boring after a while. And most people do kind of crave some kind of guidance or some kind of feed of just like, just turn on the, you know, turn on the TV and see what's on.
Yeah.
When I was working on this story about Zane Lowe and Beats One, I talked to Trent Reznor. It was basically his idea of them doing this. When they had built the original Beats Music a couple of years ago, he said that he was thinking about how music had gotten so niche-y on the internet. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, he said what he said was that you can feel like you're down in a crevice where, you know, you have this choice of millions and millions of songs and you build your own little playlists and you're kind of in your little hobbit hole. He said he was on tour in England and heard Zane's show on the BBC and started thinking about, like, what if this could be done on the internet? Like, the idea of a station that everybody has with them all the time, that is kind of the transistor radio kind of model. Like, what if everybody had access to this thing
mm-hmm.
with a tap of their thumb, in which we'd all communally be listening to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would constantly change. What would that experience be like? He described it as the monoculture.
He did use that word. I saw that in your piece.
Which is a provocative word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be good, it can be bad.
Meaning we're all part of the same
culture. We're all part of the same thing.
Rather than being in our own little individual me cultures.
I think the dark way to interpret that is a monoculture will be imposed upon us. That's the dark way to read that word. But
then you got the whole rest of Apple Music.
Right.
So anyway, let's take a DJ break now and hear one of the new DJs on Apple Music. Drake with Know Yourself.
I don't like how serious they take themselves. I've always been me, I guess I know myself.
shakiness, man, I don't have no time for that. My city too turned up, I'll take the fine for that. That's been where you find me at, that's been where you find me at. I know a named Johnny Blink, he put me on the finer things. Had a job selling Jabo jeans, I had a yellow Techno Marine. Then Kanye dropped it with polos and backpacks.
That was Drake with Know Yourself. Ben, do you remember a little while ago during a different episode of Popcast, we were talking about the Echo Nest, among other subjects? The Echo Nest being the music data company that furnishes Spotify with lots of analytics to help it get over to its users better. We were talking about how one of the key concepts among music data people is the idea of discovery. That's the thing. The best kind of discovery is going to be the thing that will make one of these music streaming services defeat the others. Is that sort of what we were talking about? It's a key concept.
It's a key concept in there. And the idea, it's another buzzword, but I mean the idea is basically like, how do you get people to listen to new music?
Right.
How do you get them to like new music?
Discovery meaning something you haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the word still means. But it also could mean something slightly different from what you thought you knew.
Right.
Slightly different from what's in your normal menu. Do you have a sense that this is what Apple is going for with live DJs? That there's a greater possibility of discovery when the user is not entering in any data, any preferences?
Maybe. I think that's in general part of the idea of how all of these things work, is that they're going to break music. They're going to introduce people to new music. When I talked to Zane Lowe about the programming of this, he talked a lot about how fresh he wanted it to be. You know, he wanted this to sound like there's new music all the time. And they have a combination of basically professional radio DJs who are going to be on this. One of them is Ebro Darden, who's on Hot 97 in the morning in New York. And then they have some celebrities, and then they have some other people who are sort of like non-professional broadcasters, some bloggers and other people with, you know, a certain amount of following online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want these people to sort of bring their personality to the station. And so they're going to be introducing music to people. They have an idea that they can react faster than your typical radio station. We'll see if that actually works.
You mean to a breaking song, something that's dropping.
Brand new song comes out. Part of Apple Music is this thing, Connect, the media platform.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their hope is that every artist around the world will use it to say, hey, I just did this cool new demo backstage. Here it is, world. Check it out.
Yeah.
They'll be able to grab that and put it on the air.
Yeah.
We'll see whether they actually do that. One of the good things about regular old radio is that they're actually pretty good about that too. And a lot of the big songs that we hear are like put in somebody's hand at a radio station. And, you know, when Taylor Swift has a new song.
Carried from the pressing plant to the radio
station. When Taylor Swift has a new song, it will probably be on iHeartRadio, you know, on an iHeartRadio station all over the country. When Rihanna has a new song, it'll be the same thing.
Sure.
You know, she might put it on Tidal, in which she is a part owner, but it is going to be on the radio immediately afterward.
Yeah.
They will be competing with good old-fashioned radio to do that. I think that there will be an emphasis on brand new music, but I think it's going to take a little while for them to sort of get their feet on the ground about exactly what the station is going to sound like. They're playing with it.
When we step aside from Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Drake, people on that level, and we look at musicians who, you know, they may even be semi-popular, but they're not making a lot of money because of the changes now. They are just not getting big payouts from Spotify and the other streaming services. I'm often in conversations with people who say, well, what do you think? What's the next income stream for musicians? How are they going to eat? How is this going to work? And of course, I never really know the answer. But it's interesting to see Apple get so invested in the idea of recommenders, basically, or curators. I mean, this benefits them. This adds value to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine a situation where an artist of some note, not a top 10 artist, but, you know, a great jazz band leader, let's say, may make an amount per year from streaming, but they might actually be paid more by Apple Music to do a show or to create a playlist or to, you know, make some kind of appearance just as a curator.
I'm not clear that they are paying those people for their shows.
It would be strange if they didn't, though, because it's not just about promotion for those artists. It actually benefits Apple Music and what they're doing. It's promotion for Apple Music, isn't it?
Promotion for it? Maybe, sure. Yeah, it's help selling it. I mean, people are going to listen to Beats 1 partly because Drake and Dr. Dre and Pharrell are going to be on there. So yes, it does help them sell it. There's been a lot of gossip about this in the business, but I have not found anything, and I have not found anything credible that they're shelling out money for people to be hosts on the station.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but I mean, that's just speculation at this point.
Mm-hmm. What about the other big streaming services? Are they? Do you have any sense that they're looking at Apple's investment in the radio-ish concept and saying, oh, well, clearly we have to do that too?
I think they've already done it. I mean, this is part of the phenomenon of internet radio, which is that, like, when Spotify arrived, it was basically selling itself as a utility for music. Just go here, you know, listen to music. Type in a band you like. Here's their whole catalog. Check it out. But what they found is that people do want guidance. They want things pushed to them. They want channels. They want, you know, they want to see a thing that says new releases this week. And so they have a radio feature. RDO, which is another on-demand streaming service, about a year ago, also changed directions. They still have the on-demand thing, but they've pumped up the radio-like features on it.
You're talking about live radio?
No, I'm talking about Pandora-like internet radio, meaning it's a feed of songs that are sent to you that change, that you do not have direct control over, but you tell it, I like Taylor Swift, so it might play you
right.
Artists like her.
Mechanical radio.
Sure.
As opposed to live radio.
Okay. So is your question, are the other services saying, we got to get our own Zane Lowe over
yes.
here? I kind of doubt that. I think that's an expensive proposition to set that up and have the staff and deal with it. I'm sure they're watching it. I mean, everything Apple does is watched very, very closely. And there's been, you know, there's been tremendous amount of anticipation and anxiety over the last year over what is Apple going to do. You know, they paid $3 billion for Beats. And they made it clear we're getting into the world of streaming music here. So Spotify over the last year has been making some changes to their platform. Right before Apple's announcement, they added a bunch of stuff to it to sort of make it easier to discover music.
Mm-hmm.
They've been growing fast, and they've been hyping those numbers every chance they get to show, like, hey, we're here, and we're successful, and we're checking this out. There's also been a lot of intrigue behind the scenes with government investigations of Apple over antitrust issues. The European Commission is looking into it. The Attorney General of New York is looking into it. It's not really clear that those are going anywhere just now.
Mm-hmm.
But within the music business, that's something that people are paying a lot of attention to. You know, Apple has gotten into a lot of trouble with this kind of thing in the past. They were investigated over e-books by the Attorney General of New York and by the Department of Justice. And they don't want to get into that trouble again. So I know that they've been very, very careful about how they deal with the record companies in working out their deals. That's part of the whole climate is just this is about, you know, new kinds of companies kind of getting into this whole how people are going to consume music now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have record stores anymore, really. And I'm not going to get hate mail for that. But the way people are consuming music now is online.
Mm-hmm.
People are not downloading as much as they used to. That whole model is starting to crater. This is the future. And so there's a war about who's going to control digital music in this new environment.
When Apple Music is unveiled.
Launched,
yeah. On Tuesday, have you thought at all about what you're going to do first? Like how you're going to kick the tires and, you know, like what are the first things you're going to do to sort of check out how it works and how good its user interface is and what it can do for you?
I do want to listen to the radio service. Mm-hmm. I want to see what's the first song they play. I want to hear what Zane Lowe's show is going to sound like.
Isn't that amazing? Because they're going to sign on.
They're going to sign on. There's going to be a first song. It's going to be like MTV in 1981.
Right.
We haven't really talked that much about Zane, but we should. He's a New Zealander.
Yeah.
He's been on the BBC for 12 years. He's kind of one of the big names over there. He's very influential in breaking music. You know, he played Ed Sheeran. He played the Arctic Monkeys early on, and they became, you know, huge stars there.
Right.
He kind of comes out of a hip-hop background. You know, like a lot of people on radio, he's like, he's very energetic, you know, and he's really intense. And when he gets behind something, he goes crazy about it. I think his involvement really brings some credibility to this. I think, like, they could have manned the station with a lot of people. But the fact that they got somebody who is not familiar to most Americans, but has a lot of credibility and has this reputation for playing new music mm-hmm. and having good taste, I think that makes the station interesting. I think that that means that people are watching it to see what it's going to do. The rest of it, I can't really get my head around still. How do downloads and streaming live together?
You mean how are they going to be able to maintain iTunes
yes.
as we know it?
How do you sell me an album for $10, but then also tell me, oh, if you pay the same $10, you can listen to this and 20 million other albums?
Better sound with the downloads?
It's the same.
The same?
The same sound quality. It's 256
demonstrably, scientifically the
yes,
same?
Yes, they are the same. 256 kilobits, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I listen to music all the time. I listen to downloads. I listen to streams. I listen to internet radio. But I think of them as kind of, you know, separate rooms in a house. I'm not really sure how I would use them both when I'm holding them in my hand.
Right.
I want to see if it's a fun place to hang out. That's been one of my complaints about most digital music services is that a lot of times they're useful.
Mm-hmm.
They are a utility. They are a place where you go, how does that song on X's second album sound? Well, let me just type it in here and there it is.
Sure.
But they're usually not that fun to hang out in.
A reference library. But it's not like WKRP.
It's not, or it's not like MTV in,
yeah.
you know, in the 90s
right.
where you actually did want to see what is the next song that they're going to play. If they can get a little bit of that excitement in through the radio or just through the design of it, then I think it'll be appealing. I do wonder if it's a little overwhelming, if it might be a little confusing to ordinary people about, I'm just imagining explaining Apple Music to my parents. It's a download service, but that's also a streaming subscription service, but
yeah.
it's also a radio service, but it's also
well,
a media upload platform. It's just hard to get your head around the whole thing.
They didn't understand MTV either.
I think my parents got it.
All right, let's go out with a track by another host or set of hosts on the Beats One internet radio music stream, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? That will launch on Tuesday.
You're not doing a show on Beats One.
Disclosure
no
with Holding On. Thank you, Ben Cesario.
Thank you.
I found my heart had grown colder, but the warmth of your kiss I can't dismiss. My past has left me bruised. I ain't hiding from the truth. When the truth won't let me lie right next to you.
That's our show, and thank you for listening. You can read Ben Cesario's reporting on the coming of Apple Music at nytimes.com/music. Our producer is Jocelyn Gonzalez, and you can listen to some of the things we've been talking about today on our Spotify playlist. We will see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.